All right. Well, I can tell coffee is a big topic here. How many of you were completely left out of this whole conversation because, like me, you don't drink coffee? Anybody? Yeah, I don't drink coffee. I don't get it. I like the smell of it, but I'd be bad to tell you all the things that I like the smell of that are probably not good for you anyway. I'm not a coffee guy. Anybody here have a conversations about Folgers? Because that's the only coffee that my family grew up drinking. My mom and my grandparents had a coffee pot, and it was just like Folgers. So anybody a Folgers person here? Okay, went to a couple of Folgers people here. Hey, if you're a mother today, we welcome you to Southwest Family Fellowship. My name is Mike. I am the interim pastor here, and I'm going to be here for the next couple of months until we get our new pastor. We're in the process of going through that. So I want to welcome you on behalf of our church family, and thank you for choosing to be a part of us for a part of this special day. As soon as church is over, I'm headed back to the Dallas area to celebrate Mother's Day with my wife and my mother-in-law. I was trying to have my wife and daughter here this Sunday, but my mother-in-law called Thursday, and she lives in an assisted living place, and she said, for Mother's Day, the only gift that I want, come on, the only gift that I want is I want you to take me to my old church. I can see all my friends. So my mother-in-law are back there, so I'm going to head home as soon as we're done here and have a late lunch to celebrate Mother's Day. So listen, one of the hardest things for a person to do who speaks a lot is special occasions, right? I mean, all of them, they all kind of run together, and many of them are very much the same. And so I'm always, you know, trying to find inspiration for a special sermon like Mother's Day and Father's Day and things like that. But you need to know that my normal preparation for every Sunday is out on my porch. I have a back patio, and I sit back there, and I read my Bible, I pray, I go through my electronic commentaries, I go trying to find, you know, what I sense that God is saying to me for this church and for what God wants to say for us today. And that's kind of been my pattern for 40 years. I'm an outdoorsy guy, so I sit on the patio and I read and pray, and that's kind of where I get the inspiration and the seed for about 99% of my messages come from that. But I want to let you know that that's not the case for this one. The seed for this train of thought and for the message today is not my normal pattern. So before I tell you where it started, just kind of let you know that I got my hair cut 3 weeks ago at Great Clips. And before I talk about the inspiration, I want to make a few observations. First of all, anybody besides me get your hair cut at Great Clips? Yeah, a couple of us, yeah. I mean, when you have this much hair, it doesn't really matter where you get it cut. But anyway, so I was getting my hair cut at Great Clips. I have the same lady. Her name is Marty Bell. Marty's Bell has been cutting my hair for 10 years, what's left of it. And what happens is what I realized at the Great Clips that I go to, that all the people who cut hair are ladies. And most of the people are repeat customers. And so you kind of get accustomed. You kind of get to know the person, and you kind of know their family, and you get comfortable talking with them. But one of the things that I noticed 3 weeks ago is the ladies who cut hair, I don't think you realize the sort of things that you're talking about in public. I mean, we can hear you. And even though the hair dryers are going and everything's going, you just talk louder. So what happened was I'm sitting there, and the lady, Marbelle, she's cutting my hair, and she's having an in-depth conversation with the stylist who's cutting another guy's hair, who has less hair than I do, cutting his hair, and they're having this in-depth conversation about their pregnancies. Both of them have probably babies that are less than a year and a half old, and they start talking about how much weight they had gained and the foods that they had craved and some other things that I won't talk about when there's kids in the room about these ladies. But and I'm just kind of sitting there, kind of getting my hair cut, minding my own business. Then all of a sudden, one of the other ladies, like the third lady down, she starts talking about how that all over her body is covered with stretch marks from her pregnancies. And I want to tell you that that's really all it took. One lady mentioning stretch marks, and then all of a sudden, all six ladies start talking about the stretch marks. And for the next 65, 70 seconds, it's like, top that stretch mark. Right? And so one of the ladies, she says, like, my thighs looks like I've been mauled by a tiger. Another lady, she says, you know, my belly sags over my navel piercing. And I'm looking over at the only other guy in the place besides me, and I'm trying not to turn my head too much because I don't want her to butcher what I have. And I'm just thinking, like, this is just, like, too much information. I mean, this is like public knowledge, but I'm scared to move. And so, you know, the more they started talking about stretch marks, the slower Maribel cut my hair. And the more that they talked about it, you could really tell that all these ladies were really troubled that their bodies were covered with stretch marks following the birth of their children. And one of the ladies, you know, kind of like the third lady down, like three down and one over, you know, she says, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm never going to ever wear a bathing suit, a bikini in my life again because I cannot handle the stigma associated with my stretch marks. And I just want to, like, go pause right here just for a minute because as soon as she said that word stigma, I knew what I was going to talk about this Mother's Day. And I just knew. I mean, and what this lady was trying to say is when other people see my stretch marks, it produces a stigma. It produces a strong feeling of disapproval in their life. In fact, on the screen, a definition for stigma is this. It's a degrading or debased attitude of society that discredits a person or a group of people because of an attribute such as illness or deformity, color, nationality, and or religion. And so what happens is when you have a stigma that you've allowed to be placed upon you or that other people have put upon you, the way that you typically cope with it is you internalize everything. And what happens is when you internalize this stigma, this feeling of reproach or disgrace or dishonor or disdain, you internalize it and it begins to thwart and it kind of lessens your self-esteem and your sense of self-worth. And it hampers our growth individually. So I just want to say that about a stigma. So let's push play back again and kind of jump back into great clips. And so we're, you know, all of a sudden, kind of the lady, not three down and one over, but two down and one back, because there's like six of them, right? You know, and so, you know, just out of the blue, she decides that she wants to get involved in this conversation too. And so she decides to tell everybody that what about her stretch marks. And you need to know by this point in time, I'm just fascinated. I'm curious. And I really don't care that Maribel has actually quit cutting my hair and placed her scissors on the counter and has turned her back toward me and in having this group conversation with all these ladies about pregnancies. And so I'm just absorbed in this conversation about all these new mothers and their stretch marks. And so the lady, two down and one over, she starts telling these other two moms that there's this blog that she's been reading about her stretch marks and how it helps her deal with her feelings of inferiority. And the website is called, she told them about, was called Love Your Lines Project. So just need to know I went home and looked at that because, I mean, I'm fascinated by now, you know. And so she said that the Love Your Lines Project is designed to promote, this is a quote, promote body positivity one stretch mark at a time. I thought that was funny. Well, maybe you don't, but I did. I thought that was funny. And the hope of the website was to help ladies embrace their imperfections. And so what really should have taken, for my amount of hair, what should have taken about 5 to 7 minutes to get my hair cut really turned into about a 20-minute haircut for me. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to talk with you not necessarily about stretch marks because you're never going to find that phrase in the Bible. Yeah, I want to let you know, I looked all week long. It never says Mary had stretch marks. Mary, the mother of Jesus, dealt with stretch marks. It never says that. But you need to know that I know a verse that sounds eerily familiar to the kind of pain and the conversation that I was listening to in Great Clips. And it carries the same frustration. It carries the same emotional baggage. It carries the same heaviness. It carries the same kind of ethos. And it's found in the book of Galatians. So if you want to turn to the book of Galatians, we're going to be talking, it's the last chapter. Galatians was written by Paul to a church that he had planted in the city of Galatia. And we're going to be looking at the last chapter, the next to last verse in that book. And what you see is this plea that sounds an awful lot like the conversation at Great Clips. And it's on the screen. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse number 17. And Paul says this, "From now on, no one should cause me trouble." And here's what I want to talk about. "I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." So let me paraphrase. Paul pleads to all the people in Galatia, "Stop staring at my scars." Paul pins this plea to the Galatian church, and I'm confident that when he penned this passage of scripture, he never thought in a million years that in Austin, Texas, we'd be talking about this on Mother's Day. That we'd be using this passage of scripture as the genesis for our message today. But even though most people would not naturally go, I mean, across America, everyone is preaching out of what? Psalms chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Excuse me, not Psalms. Proverbs chapter 31. But today we're in Galatians chapter 6. And so I think that there's some truth here that will help us all on Mother's Day. And so I want to break it down to you in some bite-sized pieces. So on the overhead, it says this. There's kind of two words that kind of first jumped out at me, and I'm reading this passage of scripture, and the word is, "I bear." Now, these two words, "I bear," there's a huge difference between "I bear" and "I have," right? You see, I have marks that distinguish me from everyone else in the room. I have marks and you have marks. We have freckles and laugh lines and moles, and we have aging spots and dimples and what my dermatologist calls barnacles upon me. I haves are completely out of our control. The I haves are biological. They are genetic. In other words, the mitochondrial DNA that you and I received from every family member in our entire family tree, it produces in our body, in every single cell of our body, a double helix that has strands of DNA in it that determine all of the I haves that you presently have. So let me illustrate. I have double jointed thumbs. Anybody have double jointed thumbs that you can bend your thumb all the way back? I got that from my mother's side of the family. Can anybody here beside me roll your tongue? Can you turn it over? If you can, you need to know that you're only in about the 65% of the people in the world that can roll your tongue or turn it over. And I got that also from my mother's side of the family. And it turns out that if you can roll your tongue, you have a recessive gene. Just for heads up. The moles, I have moles on my body. You need to know that the moles that I have on my body are almost in the exact same place as the moles that my father had on his body. What's even weirder is that my son, Connor, on his body, guess what? He has almost the exact same moles in the exact same spot. You see, the I haves are genetic. They're sent down to us. And by God's creative design in our body, he has put a unique thumbprint inside of the double helix, the DNA in our bodies. And it determines the distinctives that make you and I completely unique. You see, even though we are familiar, my list of I haves are completely different from the list of I haves that you have and that define you. But what Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and also what the ladies in Great Clips were talking about was not about the I haves. They were talking about I bear. And I have and I bear are completely different. You see, when someone says I bear, it says on the screen, it basically means that I suffer, I endure, I tolerate, I suffer in accepting the realities of these things that I bear. It implies that I have this ongoing struggle, this issue that requires of me to be resolute and strong because of the things that I'm bearing. So to bear something speaks that I have to tolerate something that I really didn't wish I had to tolerate at all. And my haves, I have list, is dramatically opposed to the I bear list. Because I bear implies that I have to have healing for this. It means that I'm constantly dealing with it emotionally. Now the color of our eyes, the color of our skin, the freckles on our face, the dimples on our chin, the moles on our skin, we embrace those as God's unique design for us. But the things that we bear, the scars, the stretch marks, the deformities that others look at us, they stigmatize us. And when they notice, when we catch them looking at our deformities or the scars, the things that we bear, we have a sense of displeasure from them. We feel like they're degrading us with their looks or they're demoralizing us. And it's their debasing stares sometimes are attached to the flabby skin that some ladies lost, the elasticity of their skin during pregnancy. The ladies in Great Clips were talking about the visibility of the scars that don't seem to fade with time. And what Paul and the ladies in Great Clips understand that those are the marks. Those marks are the things that people use to negatively define them. So Paul says, I bear. And then the next phrase that he talks about on the screen is, I bear on my body marks. I bear my body marks. So that Friday when I was getting my hair cut in Great Clips, the word that caught my attention really was not stretch marks. I mean, it wasn't the tone or the hurt or the frustration that triggered all the conversation. The word that caught my attention was stigma. That's the word that really caught my attention. And if you're able to read, if you can put it on the screen, if you're able to read Galatians chapter 6, verses 17, in the original language, that's Greek. It looks like Greek to you because it is Greek. It's Greek on the screen. There's a word in there. It should be bolded. It's got a line underneath it. That is the word that's translated marks, but it's pronounced stigmata. The root word for stigma comes from that word, stigmata. Now, what Paul and the ladies in Great Clips and Waxahachie, they're using the exact same words. And I guarantee you, those ladies that day had no idea they were talking Greek. They had no idea that they're using the same root word that Paul used in this passage of Scripture. So just in like in English, that English has multiple meanings for the same word, the same is true for the Greek language. And so on the screen, let me give you three definitions for the Greek word stigmata, and we'll talk about the first two and come back and talk about the third. The first one is that it means a brand, or it means an intentional mark upon the body. Back in the horrific days of slavery, the owners of slave would put a brand, they would put a mark to identify, an intentional mark that says, I own this person. It's also the intentional marks that many people put on their bodies today with tattoos. The second context, it says this, that it is a word, it's a line or a mark or a scar. So get this. So it's a line or a mark or a scar without any special design, but yet it holds significant meaning due to the experience experience from which they got the mark. There's another one. We'll talk about the third one in a minute. But this second one, the second definition here is the stigmata that Paul and the ladies were talking about. A mark, a scar on their body that holds great or significant meaning because of how they received it. Paul, if you know anything about Paul, Paul got his stigmata, he got his marks from what the scripture calls persecution. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians, it's on the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. Paul says, 5 times I have received from the Jews 39 lashes. So anybody who's good with math, that's 195 lashes with a whip. 3 times he was beaten with a rod, a metal rod or a stick. Once I was stoned, and he's not talking about recreationally. He's talking about being big rocks hurled at him with the intention of killing him. He goes on and says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. Can you imagine the marks on his body? Can you imagine the toll that all these experiences had on Paul's body? I mean, Paul's body was a wreck. No wonder when people looked at him, he felt the stigma. He felt the reproach because they couldn't help but be repelled by the marks on his body, the marks on his face, his legs, his back, his arms. These marks made Paul infamous. They made him famous in the eyes of the world. But Paul says these marks also brought him great dignity. So people looked at Paul and go, look at the scars upon Paul's body. Look at how his body is wrecked. And Paul says, listen, you need to know that I'm famous for my scars. But Paul says, what you need to know that it brings dignity to me. How does it bring dignity to Paul? It's the third definition of the word stigmata. It comes from the last phrase. Paul says, I bear on my body the marks of who? Jesus. That's the third context for the Greek word that's translated stigmata or marks. It says on the screen that the stigmata means the marks of Christ, meaning the 5 wounds, the 5 scars that Jesus received from being on the cross, the 2 in his hands, 2 in his feet, and 1 from the spear in his side. Those are 5 marks, 5 scars upon his body. And Paul hints to everyone that says, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Now, he's not saying I bear my body the same marks on my hands, my feet, and my side. What he is saying and what he wants us to see is this. By using the word stigmata, Paul wants us to recognize that he has earned these scars. That these scars are deeply meaningful for him and they are highly significant. In fact, he says in this passage of scripture, instead of being stigmatized, instead of being discredited by, instead of looking at disdain upon my scars, the exact opposite is true. Paul, it says on the screen, says this, that these marks bring a new level of identification and they identify him the same ways that Jesus' scars identified him. It's parallel. So you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead, the scripture says he appears to his disciples in the upper room. It says in John chapter 20, you can read along with me, verses 19 through 21, Jesus came and stood. And you need to know that one version says that he actually just appeared. In other words, he just kind of walked through the walls without opening the doors. And when he did that, the scripture says when he's standing there among the disciples and they didn't open the door for him, the scripture says they just utterly freaked out and said, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And then he said to them, then he did this to them. It says, he showed them what? His marks. He showed them his hands, his stigmata. He showed them his feet, the stigmata. He showed them his side, the stigmata. And here's what it says. Then the disciples did what? They rejoiced. You got to see this. They rejoiced when they saw his marks. His marks identified him as Jesus. They saw him in a new light because of the marks on his body. This week, I went back again and read some of the blogs that's on the Love Your Body website, and it chronicled how that these ladies are learning to love their body because it brings a new identification to them. Marks that they've earned that define who they are. The fourth thing that Paul says in this passage of scripture, from now on. From now on, based on everything that I've said, no one should cause me trouble. Why? Because although Paul's body is completely deformed from the beatings, from being stoned with rocks, from being left to dead, his body and his leg being cut up from crossing coral reefs, trying to get back to shore from a shipwreck, Paul says, I no longer see these scars on my body the same. They no longer bring a stigmatization to me. Why? And how could that happen? It says on the screen that Paul says, now what was once a stigma now is a mark of love. In other words, Paul says, my body speaks to the fact, Galatian church, that I love you. I bear on my body all these marks of my love for you. Let me give you another example of that. Antipater was a Roman general and he was a politician. It was around the same time as Julius Caesar. And he was a general in the army and he'd been accused of being disloyal to Julius Caesar and he was being brought up on charges. And a historian, a Jewish historian, by the way, whose name is Josephus, states that when Antipater came and stood before Julius Caesar, he never opened his mouth. He never said a word. Instead, what he did is he took off his outer cloak. He took off his inner cloak, and he revealed to Julius Caesar and all the Roman senators in the forum, he revealed the scars that he'd received on his body from the battles that he had fought for Julius Caesar. And for his loyalty to Julius Caesar, Josephus said this. He had no need for words. His body, while he was silent, shouted loudly his loyalty. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. My body shouts loudly my love for this church that I built and I planted. These scars on my body are a living testament of my love for this church. Jesus is saying the same thing. Come and see my hands. Come and see my feet. Come and see my side. My body shouts to you that I love you, that I've given my life for you. Paul is saying, hear me. Hear what I'm saying because I deserve your respect. I deserve the right to be heard. I've earned this and my body bears the marks of it. Mom, your body shouts to us that you love us. I told my wife that I was going to speak to you guys on stretch marks, and she said, you are stupid. I said, thank you for the support. She says, you better not ask any ladies to lift their hand if they have stretch marks. I said, baby, I'm not that dumb. I'm not going to do that. You see, regardless if you're a mother here and you have stretch marks or you don't have stretch marks, can I tell you that there's three things that your body and the fact that you're a mother says to us today. Three quick takeaways and I'm done. Number one, that your marks upon your body that you bear shows us that you are capable of amazing change. Swollen ankles. My wife called them, like, her ankle and her calf were the same size. She called them crankles, like elephant legs. She couldn't wear her wedding ring because her hands swelled up so bad. She couldn't wear the nice shoes that I bought her because her feet were so swollen. So she would wear flip-flops everywhere she went because she couldn't put her feet inside the shoes. And she had special pants. You remember those special pants with that stretchy thing on it? Because their belly button sticks out, you know? Your body says that you are able to endure a great amount of change. Number two, the marks on your bodies reveal that you have amazing strength. I was in the room when both of my children were born, and it's nothing like on the movies. I mean, I'd seen it on the movies, right? But I had no idea they came out looking like that. I mean, I had that creamy, cottage cheesy stuff. I had no idea. And I also had no idea how strong my wife was until she gave birth. My wife is 5'4". Prior to pregnancy, she probably weighed about 101 pounds. And both of our children were 1 ounce shy of 10-pound babies. Okay? My wife is strong. And every mother that I have ever met in my life is strong, the third. Probably the most important. The marks on your body reminds us that you made room for new life. I mean, after my hair was cut, I went back to my house and I looked at this Love Your Lines project and I read all these blogs and read all these forums and all the stuff that these ladies were talking about because I felt bad that I didn't have any stretch marks. And so there was a blog that I read that I want to read to you this morning because I just thought it was such a great sentiment from these moms. And it says this. I don't think I put it on the overhead, did I? I don't think I did. Okay. I'll read it to you. A lady by the name of Lisa says this. As my little miracle inside me grew, so did the lines. So I changed my mindset and now I know that stretch marks are a reminder of what my body is truly capable of. What I thought would signify ugly actually signifies beauty and life. My lines tell a story. I earned these marks, and I will wear them proudly. Because in the end, I love this. Because in the end, I want my heart to be covered with stretch marks. I just love that. At the end of my life, I want my heart, and maybe yours as well. I believe that should be a goal for all of us because that's what Paul is saying. I bear on my body birth pains of birthing a new church. You bear on your body of making room for new life. And we as a church, we as people, we may never have them on our body, but our hearts should be covered with stretch marks because we have opened our heart and allowed new life to come into us and out of us. So I was getting my hair cut. So many thoughts about the hurt and the pain. We all have stigmas. I'm dyslexic. I'm not really good with numbers. In school, I was called a lazy reader because back in those days, you weren't diagnosed as dyslexic. They just said you were lazy. And so today, if I read, I read with my finger across every word because my eye jumps all the way around. If you want to see me panic, ask me to read something out loud that I have not written. And I will break out in, it's a stigma. I'm stigmatized because I bear on my body, in my brain actually, a deformity, a learning disability. And it stigmatized me. In Sunday school, we would read a paragraph. Or in school, we would read a paragraph. And the teacher would go down the line, and I would count how many people it was to me. And I would not hear anything else that was being said, and I would just read my paragraph over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in my head because I didn't want to be stigmatized. You may be here today, and maybe it's not dyslexia. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a deformity. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's a scar. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe who knows what it is that people look at you with disdain. You need to know that Jesus says those stains, those hurts, those wounds, those scars actually can bring new meaning to your life. Because you can be healed of the hurt. So this Mother's Day, some of you may have stretch marks, some of you may not. What you have is, if you're a mother, is you've proven that you can handle change. You're stronger than anyone else could ever imagine. And none of us would be here without our mother. So what I want to do today is we want to honor and we want to celebrate. So we're going to do something that's a little churchy. If you've been in church a little bit, we'd like to honor, and we have some flowers that we're going to give to every mother on the way out, but we would just like to acknowledge, I would like to acknowledge, three different mothers in the room. Number one, the newest mother in the room. So if there's anybody in the room that has a child less than, can we start at 3 years old and younger? Anybody here, 3 years and younger? Lift your hands. Anybody, 3 years and younger in the room? Okay. Yeah, right over here. One. How old? Three. One, three. Yours is younger than three. Two next month. Okay. Can we just give you a round of applause? Thank you for being our youngest mother in the room. And I've met your baby girl. Her name starts with a C. No. Yeah. Okay. Now, this was really the awkward one. Not the youngest, but the most stately. the one who has seen more Mother's Day. And this is hard. Where do you start? Anybody want to give us a number? 50? Okay. Can I have all the mothers in the room that are at least 50 years old, please stand. All the mothers in the room that are at least 50 years old, please stand. If you're a mother and you're in the room and you're, I know, oh, none of you look 50. None of you. I'm shocked, okay? Okay, so when we say your number, we're going to ask you to sit down. So 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. Okay, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69. Okay, you're standing for her. 70, 71, 72, 73. This is amazing. 74, 75, 76, 77, no way, 78, 79, 80, all right, 81, 82, 83, 83, still standing? Look, we're just going to stop right there. Can we just thank you? Thank you for being here today. Okay, and then let's just do one more just for kicks. The mom in the room with the most children, okay? Not necessarily living, but the mom with the most children. Can we start, what's a good number? If this was a homeschool crowd, we'd start really high. Okay, so we're going to start at 4. Okay, if you have 4 children or more, lift your hand. 4 children or more, lift your hand. Okay, I guess Adrian, you're it, right? Nobody with 4 or more? All right, Adrian. All right. Hey, we're going to give everyone, all the mothers, a flower on your way out. And then we have a board that Ryan made. It's a backdrop for photo booth. It's a photo booth. Where is it? Right out here to the left? Or on the right-hand side. So moms, make sure you get your clan together and get a good family photo. Our ushers are going to come this morning and really give us a quick opportunity before we dismiss to give our weekly tithes and offerings. And I want to let you know that I spared no money in my Mother's Day gift this year. Because if you love something, what do? Wow. Man, I need to talk to the guys in this room a little bit. Okay, I just finished Samson. Samson's outward expression was a sign of his inward commitment, right? Giving, buying gifts for our loved ones on Mother's Day and is an outward expression of what? Of an inward love that we have for them. The same is true with giving. As we give return to the Lord, our tithes, our weekly offerings. At this church, there's 5 ways that you can give. You can give online, give by check. You can give by annual give, recurring giving. You give through Cash App, all kinds of different things. But this morning, what we want to do before our ushers come and we're going to receive, I just want us to pray for our offering. So if you could, you may give online, and thank you for giving online, being consistent, recurrent giving. That's amazing. We appreciate that. But I'd like for us just to pray. So if you could you just... Let's pray over our offerings this morning. Maybe you're giving by check. And Lord, I pray this morning for every business owner. I do this every time that I pray, God, because I believe that if we honor you, your word says that you bless us financially. And so I pray for every business owner. And I pray, God, that as they give, as they are faithful in returning back to you, the weekly tithes and offerings, that you would bless their business with new job opportunities and expand their horizon. And we pray the prayer of Jabez that they would expand their blessings upon them. For those of us that work for other people, Lord, because of our faithfulness in returning to you our tithe from that portion of our job, God, that we would be blessed and be great employees. And as a result, the businesses and the companies that we work for would be blessed because of us. And God, bless those who give. God, I pray for a financial blessing to rest upon them. And we honor you and we thank you that you have given us the ability, as Scripture says, to make wealth. All of our gifts come from you. And by returning our tithe back to you, we acknowledge that we're not the owner. We're simply a steward. In your name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Our ushers, I guess there's ushers here. I guess there's ushers here. That's a hint. I need an ushers. We need ushers. Okay. I'm giving today. And, oh, man, we got big old salad bowls today. So, may it multiply. May it multiply. Hey, I want to bless you this morning on our way out. Moms, thank you for being a part of us today. Thank you for being a part of our Mother's Day celebration. Make sure you get a good photo. God bless you. Lord, we bless our mothers. We thank you that you chose our moms for us, that we were designed by you in our mother's womb, it says in Jeremiah. And you have a plan for us. And we thank you that you gave us the mom that you did. I miss my mom. She's in heaven with you. And God, I'm just so thankful that you allowed Wanda to be my mom. And Lord, I'm so thankful for Rhonda, that she's the mother of our children. And God, your word says that we would work and live in such a way that we would rise up and call our mothers blessed. And so, Lord, I pray that every son and daughter whose mom is still alive today, that on their drive home or sometime today, they would make that call and they would thank their mother. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Make sure you go get your photos taken. Good to see you here. Look forward to seeing you here next Sunday. We start at 10:30, just in case you didn't know. 10:30 is what time we start. Blessings. God bless you. You are dismissed.